Hey everybody, welcome to The Press, and if you just listened to our Tuesday show, quote-unquote Tuesday show, recorded on a Wednesday, thanks for joining in for our second show of the day, which is our Wednesday show, which is a normal show we should do, where we would normally talk about like everything else that's happening outside the PGA Tour, but this is the only thing that's happening this week is the Masters Tournament, so we're going to be talking about that today. I'm Ryan Balanchine, thanks for being here. If you never listened to the show, we do three shows a week, and we usually focus on the PGA Tour event of the week on Monday and Tuesday, kind of go over opening lines in the first show, model and current form, and horses for courses in the second show, and then we usually talk about kind of everything else. Well, the Masters this week is everything, and the everything else at the Masters is derivative bets, which we don't usually talk about a ton on this show. Random prop bets, you know, all kinds of different things I think are just kind of interesting to go through because this tournament's different. And I did want to point out something I'm just noticing here. I actually hate that bet. Never mind, I'm not going to point that out. It was something I thought was totally different on DraftKings, and I don't like that bet at all. So we're just not going to talk about that one. But for the first two shows this week, we've talked about outright markets, right? Most likely players to win. Here's the criteria you have to follow and all that stuff. But a lot of people are in pools. A lot of people like to have long shot tickets. A lot of people like to just kind of think about players a little differently this week because you never know. But in fairness, the last 12 to 15 years, this tournament has been pretty much by the book. Like, you've been a top 30 player in the world. You've played well previously. You have almost a handful of professional wins. You're great tee to green. There's not someone who typically just kind of comes out of nowhere. Even Danny Willett didn't come out of nowhere. He was a great player when he won the Masters. Just happened to be the right guy in the right place at the right time when it all fell apart for Jordan Spieth. Matt Fitzpatrick was there too, by the way. Had a great final day. So even the shock outcomes, they're not that shocking when you think about it. That all said, hey, let's look at some guys that could be interesting. We'll get some super long shots here, and then we'll get into some derivative bets as a result of that. So Taylor Moore interests me quite a bit. So he won the Valspar last year and defended it very well, actually. T12 finish in the defense. He is back here in this tournament after a great year last year. And he is in the field at 180-1. He's playing pretty good golf. Finished second T2 at the Houston Open. Again, good title defense at the Valspar. Playing good recently. 11-1 on a top 10 bet. That's kind of interesting to me. That's a worthwhile play for a derivative play in 180-1. Maybe if you go find it like a Bet Rivers, which will let you do effectively an each way bet, which is two bets, one bet to win, one bet for X number of places, 6, 8, 7. 10, it depends on the book, what they give you and the price will be a little bit different. But that might be an interesting bet to make. Adrian Meronk's kind of interesting to me in that regard. One guy I do want to point out whose odds don't really match everybody else, and that's Nick Taylor. He's already won this year on the PGA Tour. He's been playing great golf. He's 190-1 to win the tournament. I'm not saying you should pick Nick Taylor to win, but if you look at his top 10 odds, and top 5 odds for that matter, compared to the others in this price range, Meronk is at 180-1. He is 30-1 on a top 5 and 11-1 on a top 10. 10 points more on the win for Nick Taylor, but 25-1 on a top 5 and 9-1 on a top 10. So maybe interesting to consider that the books think pretty well of him. Torbjørn Olesen playing pretty well overall. Top 10, 12-1 is kind of interesting to me. The play I've given out a bunch of times is Erik van Rooyen at 250-1. I like that this is an each way bet. I would put a little bit on him to win if you think, you know, like $5, $6, a tenth of your unit. For me, that, you know, a unit's $50. So for you, if you're betting $10, put a dollar on him. If you're betting $5, you can't put 50 cents on him in books. So put a dollar on him. 35-1, again, mispriced aggressively on top fives and tens because they know he's capable. They just don't think he's going to win. 35-1 on a top five, 12-1 on a top 10. Eric Cole just above, I'll give you, Lucas Glover has a decent track record here. 250-1 to win, 40-1 on a top five, 14-1 on a top 10. So you're kind of looking at the mark and go, wait, these guys think he can play well. They're trying to tell you something. They just know it's a long shot that he could win. So I think that's a little bit of a tell you can look at based on those numbers. Now, I wouldn't go down to like a Peter Malnati or a Lee Hodges. Adam Schenck does interest me, though, on a top 10 at 14-1. He is playing pretty good golf lately. Seems to kind of be coming into form. again, you can't expect a first-timer to win, but I think that guy's worth a look, at least on a top 10 bet. So those are the ones I look at when I look at win 5 and 10. If you want to look at top 20s or top 40s, top 40 is kind of an interesting market here because the cut line at the Masters is the top 50 in ties. There's no 10-shot rule anymore. You have 89 players in the field. You've got to beat 39 players to get to the cut, right? And then you got to beat another 10 to get into the top 40. Well, if you look at past champions and amateurs who really don't typically stand a chance, and the guys who are just kind of happy to be here, there's your 39 players. So if you think someone can just make the cut, I would just the same bet them on a top 40. I know they can finish between 40 and 50th or 40 and 53rd. And if a lot of players make the cut, it gets a little bit harder. But it's effectively equal chance to me. Now, what you're paying for here is to try to find some either diamond in the rough that's going to make the cut and hang around like a Peter Malnati or a Lee Hodges. But if you look at like Adam Schenck, he's plus 110, top 40. So if you don't like him on a fun top 10 bet, maybe you go 20 or 30, you get a good plus price. I think he can make the cut and do pretty okay. Same with Lucas Glover, even money, plus 100, even though they're effectively the same guy in the odds board. But even money to make the cut, or top 40. Tiger Woods is minus 120 to make the cut. What I would argue with you then is, do you want to take him, if you're thinking about betting Tiger Woods, and I, for one, will not bet Tiger Woods this week for a variety of reasons. But if you wanted to bet Tiger Woods, I think you would come down to one of two bets. A top 40 or make miss cut, you know, one of those two. But make miss cut's going to be probably closer to 180, minus 180. Or, and this is something where I'm going to agree or disagree with Jeff Seeley from the Cutmaker podcast. Cutmaker Jeff does a great job. He goes on VSiN and talks with the Follow the Money guys, and he gives good analysis. I mean, I don't always agree, but he gives good analysis. He loves Phil Mickelson in a head-to-head against Tiger Woods, and we'll talk about some head-to-heads here. But Tiger's plus money in that bet. So if you think, like Jeff does, that Phil is actually playing pretty decent golf when Liv finished tied for second last year here, isn't injury-riddled, then maybe make that play. I think this is a hard play to make because you have to assume Tiger's going to get through all four rounds. You're paying for him to make the cut knowing he's made 23 in a row, is going for the all-time record of 24 if you do a make cut bet. So, you know, those are really the only three ways I think you can play Tiger this week. But to me, that's the best way to try to do it. Top 30 and top 20, I know you're getting different prices for different golfers in that range. You kind of have and have on your way. So like a top 20 on Scottie Scheffler is minus 500. A top 40 is minus 2,000. You're not, those are just not viable things. But if you want to look at a top 30, now you've got to beat 20 players on the weekend. Now you start to get plus money a little bit sooner. Maybe you do like an Akshay Bhatia who's playing well. Patrick Reed minus 105. Maybe that's worth a look. Nick Taylor plus 165. That's not so terrible. So maybe you can find some value in those plays. I do think that this week is a particularly interesting market when you look at the without Scottie Scheffler market. Let's just say you think Scottie Scheffler is going to win. Well, that's fine if you have a decent ticket on him at like 6 or 8 to 1, not 4 to 1. And maybe you want to try to find a way to kind of get a little extra juice. You're very confident. Okay, well, now you got an opportunity to bet winner without Scheffler. Now you get Rory McIlroy at the top of the board, plus 850. That's not that different than him being there, you know, to win with Scheffler. John, you get better odds on Brooks Koepka. So he's plus 1,600 without. He's plus 1,600 with. Why wouldn't you bet Brooks Koepka right there then? You get the same value without Scheffler to account for. You've taken a player out. Bet Brooks Koepka plus 1,600, winner without. If you're looking at John Rahm, John Rahm's 11-1 with Scheffler. He's 9-1 without. If you like him, what? Take out a competitor. You're getting, you know, taking 200 points out. I get it. But still, if you like someone like, I'm trying to think of a good example here. But let's say you're looking at, I don't know, let's take Bryson. Bryson's 35-1. He's 28-1 without. So if you really think your theory of the case is that Scheffler is going to dominate and should dominate, then come into this market. Tyrrell Hatton's kind of interesting at that number, 45-1. I think your best option for these without Scheffler bets is guys who would otherwise be 40-1 or shorter. Because at that point, if you think a longer shot player is going to win or like come second to Scheffler, why wouldn't you rather have the full sweat of the ticket? That example of Nick Taylor. I mean, you get Nick Taylor at 180-1 without Scottie Scheffler. Okay, now that's kind of worth it. You're giving up, you know, a plus 1,000 or so to take Scottie Scheffler out of the equation. That bomb might be worth it. That might be worth the attempt. JT Poston, same kind of thing. Adam Schenck, same kind of thing. So some considerations there. Eric Van Rooyen, 180-1 without Scheffler. So if you think he's got a chance, okay. Maybe that's worth a look. So I would study those a little bit, but the one I would most want to exploit is Brooks Koepka at the same with or without Scheffler. Take Koepka without Scheffler if you're going to take him. You get the same number. So you got to study those pretty carefully. And they move a little bit, but that's where we are right now. These double chance ones I don't really like because they give you crap odds. I would not fall for these. Like Scotty Scheffler or Rory McIlroy to win is plus 250. Why wouldn't you just make two bets? One with Scheffler at 4-1, one with McIlroy at 10-1, and just call it a day. Don't get sucked into that trap. Please don't do that. Same with Scheffler Rahm, plus 250. Why are you doing that? Or plus 270. Why are you doing that? Do not do that. Just make two bets. Or Scheffler Koepka, plus 300. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you then want to have Koepka without Scheffler at 1600? Scheffler at plus 400. What are we doing here? You could still win. You could win that bet twice, hypothetically. So think about those a little bit more carefully. That's just a trap a lot of people fall into, I think. Top finishes include ties. That's actually something I haven't seen previously. That is kind of interesting. That's very interesting. Top five including ties. But I think you would just rather just bet that market. Tiger specials to look over. I don't know why you would bet Tiger Woods really in any context this week, but these ones are pretty outrageous. Tiger Woods to go bogey free in any round, 12-1. No thank you. Tiger Woods hole in one bets on 4, 6, 12, and 16. All outrageous numbers. Tiger Woods to break the course record. You think he's going to shoot 62? Because I sure don't. 150-1. Tiger to make an albatross, 200-1. Those are just a waste of your time. Why are we even doing that? Round finishing position, if you want to look at first round leader plays, I would have a conversation about this, but because I don't know what's going to happen with the weather, I'm going to back out of that conversation. Because the weather forecast is supposed to be bad on Thursday, particularly in the morning, which means things probably won't clear up till like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon unless the weather moves through sooner, and that could change things. But at that point, then I would just bet it live. I would not do it pre-tournament because you don't know what's going to happen with the weather. If it's ugly and it spills over into Friday, I am not convinced that the conditions will not be significantly different for who gets to go later. So if you want to think about it that way, well, actually, I would almost look at it the other way. The players who would get to go and get in at softest because it's supposed to be immaculate the rest of the week. So if you went out Thursday afternoon and got your round started and maybe you're one of the first couple tee times you get it done or awfully close, and then the players who come out on Friday, it'll be a little soft in the morning. So those players who are finishing up get it pretty well. So I would say if you're looking at anything, look at an early wave. But I'm still not convinced that's a worthwhile bet just because of the weather. But my thought would be the early wave is the winner, early portion of the wave. Because by the time you get to the back end of the day or the afternoon on Friday, it'll have dried out. It'll be faster. It'll be quicker. There is supposed to be more wind on Thursday. So if they do get going at kind of the middle of the afternoon, that wind may prove prominent, even though the course is softer. The scoring may not be as good. The wind's supposed to soften on Friday. So you can make the case, again, that the later part of the wave could have some advantage not dealing with as much wind. 15 to 20 mile per hour winds and soft versus 8 to 10 mile per hour winds and a little bit firmer. Take your pick. But I would generally avoid this market altogether. I just don't think it's worth it. End of round top 5 and end of round top 10 is kind of interesting. You don't get as good of odds, right? But maybe you get in here and you kind of muddy it around a little bit. Look at like a Jordan Spieth. Look at a Will Zalatoris. Look at a Cameron Smith or a Shane Lowry. I love Shane. If you were going to play anybody and a first round leader, I would play Shane Lowry and maybe Sahith Theegala and call it a day. And just not care about the weather. Just kind of hope that works. I like those guys a whole lot in first round markets. Again, I like an Eric Van Rooyen or a Nick Taylor. You can get Nick Taylor at 75-1. You can get EVR at 90-1. I don't know how much action you want to have. Like, some people love having like 50 bets for the Masters. I'm not one of those people. I like to have no more than like 10 and then add some stuff live. And most of the stuff I'm going to add is going to be after round one to make sure I have the full top 10, top 11 covered. And then just sit back and assume history holds for the last 20 years. So look at that. Matchup bets I do want to talk about here for a few minutes. Again, these are not normally things I talk about on the press. I don't really do a lot of matchup bets, but some people love doing first round or 18 hole matches, you know, one single day. Keith Stewart does a great job with that at Read the Line. So I recommend you check out his advice there, especially over the course of the tournament. I look at tournament matchups in groups. I think that's a better way to go. There's, for one, a lot of things can happen in 18 holes. Two, if you're betting first round matchups, the weather can be weird. Why are we doing that? Let's take that out of it. And three, it can be really hard just to kind of pit two guys against one another. That all said, we'll look at some tournament matchups that might be of interest. Ludvig Åberg against Bryson DeChambeau. Ludvig is the favorite at minus 120. I feel like you, and I know Bryson's got a horrible course history here, but I almost feel like you got to take Bryson at the even money. Then you've got Taylor Moore minus 140 against Eric Cole. I would probably take him there. I think Eric Cole's struggling right now. Corey Connors minus 130 against Max Homa plus 105. They're both probably not playing their best. Connors is better tee to green. I'd probably take Connors there, but if you want to look at like a Sahith Theegala minus 110 against Dustin Johnson, that one interests me quite a bit. I really like Tyrrell Hatton plus 105 against Russell Henley. I know Russell Henley's playing great golf, but Hatton is playing good golf on LIV. He kind of seems to contend in every tournament in that top 10 range. Worth a look. Then I would take Shane Lowry at even money over Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood is minus 120 there. Coming down the board a little bit more. Maybe Nick Taylor plus 105 against Steven Yeager. Just making his tournament debut. Give me Nick Taylor. Plus money, thank you. One matchup I would avoid, even because I like both these guys a lot in this tournament. Siwoo Kim minus 120 against Patrick Reed at even money. I would pick Siwoo, but I could see Reed doing it, so I would kind of back away from that one. And then I think that's probably the, of the ones that are here at DraftKings, that's the ones I would consider. All the others, I did not see the one Cutmaker Jeff talked about with Tiger and Phil, but I'm sure you can find a round spot that on a couple different books. Some people really like these kind of group of five matchups because you can get some better odds. Again, I think if you're going to do this, I'd like to take out as many variables as I can in playing golf and in betting golf. So I'd rather have it one-on-one. That's cool that I can get plus 275 for Fitzpatrick to beat Cantlay, Hovland, Clark, and Zalatoris, but how sure am I of that? I think this is a hard market to exploit. So I don't tend to like these. I know a lot of people love these kinds of things. You narrow down the tournament to five guys is a relatively simple sweat, but I just don't like the value of them. Hole props. Oh my gosh. They've got all kinds of different hole one bets in different matchups. That's kind of crazy. That might be a pass for me. But it is that's a super in-depth market that's kind of interesting, all within single groups. Whole score bets. Same thing. I mean, huge market for that. All kinds of like first four. Looks like, oh, geez, a whiz. That's crazy. I think the only, let's see if they got a Tiger bet here. Tiger Woods, hole score, hole one. I would look at bogey or worse, plus 175. Just saying. And then I would look at birdie or better, plus 300 on number three. I'll leave it at that. Tiger Woods does not typically hit the first fairway at the Masters. He usually struggles in the first hole. Point that one out. Some round props. Will Bryson DeChambeau break 72.5 in round one? Under 72.5, plus 110. I think he does it. I'm going to go with that. I like that at plus 110. Mickelson, Straka, Finau. Oh, that's kind of interesting. Tony Finau under 72.5 in round one. I'll take that. At plus 105, I'm interested in that. Hideki Matsuyama, under 72.5 in the first round. Minus 135, sign me up. I'm happy with that. Scottie Scheffler, round one score under 71.5, minus 150. I don't love the odds, but it is probably going to happen that way. I'm trying to see if there's... Oh, Shane Lowry, round one score, under 72.5, plus 115. Sounds good. I'll take that. That would be a yes for me. Tiger Woods, round score. Over 73.5, minus 135. Under 73.5, plus 105. I really like 73 on the nose, but I don't want to sweat that for a half stroke. Brooks Koepka. Over under round score, 72.5. Even money over 72.5. Minus 125 under 72.5. I like his chances under. Zahid Theegala. Over under 72.5. I'll take that under. Plus 115. These are all first round scores, by the way. Make miss cut bets. Some people like those. Some people would love to bet against Scottie Scheffler. Or not Scottie Scheffler. Against Bryson DeChambeau. Let me pull up that tab. I have the wrong tab open. To miss the cut. To miss the cut. Bryson is plus 275. So if you're the opposite of me, and you think he's going to stink it up and continue to stink it up at this golf course, get in there. Plus 275. Might be an interesting bet. Tiger Woods to miss the cut is minus 115. So they're putting it at a slightly worse chance than 50-50 that he will not get the all-time cuts made record at the Masters. Depends on what vintage you are, how you feel about that one. Because part of me is absolutely convinced Tiger makes the cut because he wants the record. But statistically, it's going to be pretty hard. So that can be an interesting one. If you're trying to look for somewhat, again, make cut bets, right? Instead of top 40s, you're not going to get a whole lot of plus money here, right? You might get plus money on Phil Mickelson to make the cut. And I think that's a worthwhile bet because they think his odds are worse than Tiger's to make the cut. I think Phil to make the cut is a decent play at plus 110. That's interesting. There are parlays and make the cut. No, thank you. No, I'm going to avoid that. There are some live specials. There are players to make an eagle. The winning margin. You got to pick the player and the margin. That's just, nope, not doing that. Wire to wire wins. That doesn't really happen. Lee after the first round to win. To be in the final group. I mean, there's all kinds of cool prop bets. And I wouldn't touch any of them. Prop bets are there to kill you. Please don't do those. Nationality props. Try to find a country where you only have like three or four players to think about and then narrow it down. So, for example, top Canadian, Corey Connors plus 115, Nick Taylor plus 230, Adam Hadwin plus 275. I'd take Nick Taylor there, even though Corey Connors is a better player. I think those are better numbers. I think you really got to beat one guy. Top Asian-born player, Hideki plus 130, Siwoo plus 350. If you wanted to play this as a semi-arbitrage play, you bet these two, kind of like we do sometimes with the winning margin. And if you get Hideki, well, you don't quite come out ahead. If you get Siwoo, you do come out ahead. I mean, I know other guys can win, but I think that's a safer bet. Continental European, you got some interesting options here because you've got John Rahm, right, at plus 165. But then you start to devolve pretty quickly. I mean, Sergio at 11-1. If you think John Rahm's just going to kind of wet the bed, that's kind of an interesting play. Ludwig at plus 400 is an interesting play. But other than that, I mean, the golfers that you have available, Jaeger's first timer, Sepp Straka is not in great form. Olsen's interesting at 16-1. Mronk is same price. Maybe you go for one of those guys if you think that's your theory of the case. Top Spanish player, Rahm -330, Sergio +280. Again, if you think that Rahm's not going to play well, you can kind of bet that sub-market, and if Sergio Garcia somehow beats him, you get a nice little payday. Rest of the world bets, that's too many players. Top Danish players, interesting. Torbjørn Olesen -120. I would take that over Nikolai Højgaard -105. Top Korean player, Siwoo Kim +170. You got to be bent on Sungjae Im and Tom Kim. I think I could go for that. Top Irish player, Rory McIlroy versus Shane Lowry. Now, I love Shane Lowry this week, so I would take him to beat Rory McIlroy. This is effectively a head-to-head matchup. +190, I'm considering that. I would like that. Some live specials to consider. If you care about any of the top live golfer, why not just bet the whole thing? It's 89 players, man. Just put down some money and see what happens. But John Rahm is +260 to be the top live player. Bryson +500, which tells you something, by the way, because Joaquin Neiman has no top 10s. So you kind of have to, even if you don't bet this stuff, it is extremely helpful to look at all of this kind of minutia data, because sometimes it really tells you what the book thinks about a player. Sometimes they just make a mistake. But Joaquin Neiman's +550 to be the second, you know, the best live player. Bryson DeChambeau is 5-1. But if you look at their odds to win the tournament, right? You're looking at tournament winner line. And you look at Neiman, who is 28-1, and Bryson is 35-1. Because people bet on Neiman. People aren't betting on Bryson. But if you get their unvarnished opinion about the best live golfer, because this is a submarket probably not a lot of people have touched, they actually think Bryson's a better player, a better play. So maybe you bet Bryson in the overall market, and maybe you bet him to be the best live golfer. Then you have to fade Rahm and Koepka. I don't think Koepka's putting that great. I don't think he's got a lot of confidence in his putter, so I'd be willing to exercise that. But you may not have that kind of confidence. But sometimes you get that kind of information, like the Koepka without Scheffler. The odds are the same. So if they think he could win without Scheffler, they think he could win just the same with him. Okay, cool. I'll take him without Scheffler. Thank you very much. Those things you got to try to find and exploit. You may not win them, but that's your best opportunity in the long haul in a sport like this where you have difficult odds to overcome to win your bets, especially in tournament bets. So please consider those when you're thinking about your final bets this week. And again, as I pointed out throughout the course of the week, and this is the longest show we've done all week, that if you want to live bet this tournament, look at Thursday. You want to get your top 11, you know, the top 11, basically. Someone out of the top 11 is going to win the tournament, almost certainly. And then on Saturday afternoon, you got to try to pick your top two or top four, depending on your theory. They're going to come out of one of the last two groups, almost certainly. That's the way this tournament has long worked for like 35 years. So make sure you have those in hand if you don't have them already. Those are your live betting opportunities for the week. All right, that's everything. That's all, Masters. That's all I got. Thank you so much for spending time with me. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you'll come check us out when we're not talking about major championships, but we do have three more after this year. So please consider subscribing to the show. We do this every single week. We talk about the PGA Tour event, whatever else is on the slate. Talk about LIV, talk about the DP World Tour, LPGA Tour, sometimes the Champions, the Korn Ferry Tour. But we get to it all and try to make you a little bit of money. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Join Golf News Net for $40 a year at golfnewsnet.com. If you join today, you basically get the end of this year's Masters content and next year's as part of your $40. It's a pretty good deal. Then you get all the majors for the rest of this year, too. Also a pretty good deal. If you have any questions, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. On Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky @RyanBallingy. I'm on Facebook and YouTube @RyanBallingyGolf. And Golf News Net is on all of those services at the handle Golf News Net. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck with all your bets this week. And most importantly, enjoy the Masters tournament.